get to our guest, Charu Chinnana, market strategist at Saxo Capital Markets. Charu, enjoyed looking at your notes, and I was thinking back to yesterday when I was reporting on the ISM services number. We all know what the bear case is here, an aggressive Fed, slowing growth, and recession possibly coming. But that's not the story that the market is telling. So I want to put a question to you that kind of looks at the many combinations for growth and inflation. They can both be rising. They can both be falling. You can have one up and the other down, or the reverse of that. But the one that works for the equity market, the sweet spot, is inflation falling while growth hangs in there. And we're actually seeing a glimpse of that at the moment. Can it continue?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me. Yes, I think that's a very good point. There are a range of permutations there in terms of how the growth outlook is and the inflation outlook is. But, you know, between this recessionist versus inflationist camp, we've been of the view for a good number of months, and I think still going forward as well, we do think that the inflation concerns will continue to linger. We are in an environment where there is a lack of physical assets. The energy crisis is only getting worse. Going from here as well, we do see inflation being the main concern. Now, to address that inflation problem, of course, the central banks are trying to kill demand, and that will show in the economic growth numbers. That is the whole objective of monetary tightening, right? To summarize, I think our view is still that inflation will continue to remain higher. It is unlikely it will go back to the 2-3% levels that the US is used to, which will mean some demand destruction, some growth slowdown, but it will be more measured.
And so what kind of, I guess, volatility or erratic moves do you think we will expect in markets when we're looking ahead as well to these key data points like the US CPI figure and the jobless rate?
The volatility could have been controlled had we had some better guidance from the Fed. But at the July meeting, as we've seen, the Fed has completely given away on providing any forward guidance. So that certainly means that the volatility is going to rise from here, because every data point that we get from the US or every Fed speaker will be scrutinized to its best extent in order to kind of get more light on the future path of Fed rates. Our sense is that the markets are underpricing expectations on the Fed rate hikes and on the terminal rates. We continue to watch for that. You know, there is a fair chance that inflation might have peaked. But again, I think it's going to be important to look for signs about the pace of deacceleration from there, how fast it can go down and how low it can go.
For this cycle, then, do you think we've potentially reached peak oil?
I think in the short term, yeah, we are likely to see more downside pressures because, with these demand concerns now have been aggravated by the Bank of England actually outright calling a recession, as well as the ECB as well last night, giving us some downbeat projections on growth. So I think the focus is likely to shift towards demand and the supply side, with the reserves being released and Libya's production back also. I think that is looking a bit better in the short term. So we possibly could see more downside pressures in the near term.
So yours is a little bit of a dark view about growth globally. I can cite this, world chip sales growth decelerated for 6 straight months. That would seem to suggest that we've got some strain on the global economy, but that's just me. What do you look at the most closely to decide whether or not we're turning a corner?
I think if you specifically talk about the US, I am actually looking at the labor market very closely. And of course, we do have the NFP numbers due today.
Isn't that a lagging indicator?
Absolutely. It is a lagging indicator, but it also gives us a sense about the things that the central banks are looking at, right? And in terms of the decisions they are taking and their decisions of what the economy is going to face in the near future, and also the wage growth, that is the more important aspect from the jobs data, which of course kind of gives us a sense of the money that is exactly in the hands of the American consumers, and that is a very good signal of forward inflation or consumption patterns.
Charu, I know you also look quite closely at India. We are expecting to see a hike from the RBI today. If we get, I guess, a little bit too dovish coming through from the board, what does that mean for the rupee, which is already holding at these lows?
I think it would be hard for the RBI to stay dovish now with inflation having been such a problem over the last 3 years, actually, and the global tightening wave that we've been seeing. I think it is time for emerging Asian central banks also to catch up with that tightening wave that we've been seeing, even though that might mean, of course, some pressure on their currencies. But I think that being said, I think we should rather be prepared for more hawkish than expected RBI rather than a dovish one.
So let's say I got $1 million I want to put to work. What's your strongest conviction here at the moment, Chara? What should I do with this money?
I think it's probably a good idea to kind of hold off for now, because our sense is, we might see some sideways action in the equity markets over the next month or so. But like I referred to earlier, I think markets are mispricing Fed expectations. And when that realization comes through, when we understand that there are a significant number of more rate hikes to come in the US, that could mean the next shoe to drop for the equity markets, particularly even for this earnings season. Actually, companies have reported better than feared results, but it's hard to imagine that could continue, because higher prices are eating into the margin. So these two things combined into the end of September could certainly mean the next leg down in the equity markets, and that could possibly give you some good entry points.
Just a very quick word on what you're seeing here in Singapore. I mean, DBS saying yesterday they're not too worried about the China contagion story.
We would be cautious, of the situation developing further. I think our sense is that in terms of a military conflict, everybody knows that a lot is at stake. So we probably won't get too far out there. But it is more a question of how this shapes out strategically. And, China having learned from the Russia-Ukraine story as to how it can choke the global markets, like the Russia did in terms of commodities, I think.
All right, Charu Chinnana, market strategist from Saxo Capital Markets from Singapore. This is Bloomberg.